Hello, humans. Hello, humans. Friday, December 26, 6:37 a.m. Just going to talk for a few minutes here before breakfast gets done about the this goofy idea that apparently our it's not goofy. They can be forgiven for it, but apparently our technical people that are reverse their engineering alien devices have run into this issue. Now, it's been known. I mean, I've known this since maybe I first heard it in the late 60s. They would say that you'd run across it written being somewhere, written down somewhere, that the reverse-engineered alien spaceships, or once they fixed them up after they crashed and were able to fly them again, that the humans would get in there and go pop into some other place, you know, sort of like translate out of this and translate in over there, and it would disorient their brain. And it kept being a repeatable theme, repeated theme, in the rumors and the supposedly leaked information and so on. This idea that that these craft flew by warping space-time, and that this process caused problems for the human mind. Well, first off, space-time does not exist. And so you'll hear people, a lot of people don't think very deeply about this. And they say, oh, it's, you know, these things warp space-time. They hear it from their contacts at, you know, Lockheed or Raytheon or JPL or something. Oh, these vessels warp space-time and it's causing problems with our pilots. And that's factual, okay? But space-time is a construct within the human mind. It's not a factual dimension. Even supposedly educated, intelligent people don't think, because they will repeat shit like these vessels can fly through various epochs in human history. That's horseshit. Those epochs don't exist. For that to happen, that vehicle would have to leave this current time and transit across already continually existing other time, right? So it would beg an understanding that either this first one, which is not factual, that either all time exists all the time, perpetually, and therefore you are still in existence as a consciousness 5 days ago, and, you know, when you were born, your consciousness is like a worm that continues to exist, and that they can just pop into any section because your consciousness is there existent now. And that's not factual, okay? There's things about consciousness that our stupid scientists do not grasp. It's not, and also all the woo-woo people, right? Nobody can raise your consciousness. You can't raise the vibration of your consciousness. No being inside this materium has a vibrational consciousness that is greater than yours, okay? So consciousness is inviolate. It is the substrate. It's just simply not possible, all right? You also... we know that this is the case because consciousness can be described as the observer observing itself, or the universe observing itself through your eyes, all right? And there's nothing you can do to affect that part of you. You can affect your mind and you can affect your brain, all right? Your brain affects your mind, and your mind can obscure your consciousness from you. You drink so much you pass out, right? You can take so many drugs that you're unaware of what you're doing. You and we have this thing we call the conscious mind, but that's a misnomer. It's a badly applied word. It should be more accurately thought of as the rational or logical or deductive mind, okay? It's not conscious. Consciousness is... you could also say, by the way, the aware mind. But consciousness is what you are, and so you can no more alter it than a fish can alter the water in which it swims. And that's basically the situation with the human. When we get into these craft, they do not ship us back to a previous age in which our consciousness is existing without having the level of accumulation that you have now. All right? What is actual, so they're not transiting time. Time is not a dimension. Our stupid physicists have it all wrong because they're approaching everything from a gritology view. You can easily determine what time is if you approach everything from the view of supreme consciousness as the substrate and just keep reasoning from there. All right, so when the human gets into the spacecraft that's going to, quote, dilate time or alter space-time or whatever, right? And what is actually going on is that the energies within the vehicle alter it at a physical level, but it also causes the human at a mental level, at a mind level, but also at a consciousness level, to become involved in the process of the transit, right? And this is all occurring within the eternal now, this eternal now. And you're in this eternal now right at this instant, and you can't go back to the past, and you'll never be able to go to the future. This eternal now is wide in the sense that it's not a particular millisecond in time, so to speak, that our recording of time is, again, also a misnomer. We are not recording time. We are recording sequence. You're recording the sequences the clock ticks, the sequences of the radiation escaping from the little bit of cesium or whatever it is you're using in your atomic clock, right? So that's not recording time in any way, shape, or form. It's simply recording a numeric value attached to a sequence of some repeating event, right? The tick of the clock or the atoms or the ions coming out of the cesium. So it's not actually recording time. Time itself doesn't exist. What we have is we have a memory of sequence. We have duration. And so we do have a duration counter in our brain that is acutely tied to our physiology. And it causes us physical problems when that duration counter goes out of whack. And this duration counter is affected by the energies as that craft fires up. The energies, this is difficult to put words that aren't going to be misdirecting, okay? But the language is not here. You can't really effectively describe this process because we don't have a codified set of common language to apply to it. But in essence, the eternal now is, and the consciousness within it, which is us, is part of a process, and that process is powered by the pleroma, the abundant fullness, the flowing mountain, the ever-flowing event stream. This is a sequence also. The event stream is not an orderly sequence, though, okay? So the human mind can affect what comes out. It can alter the material that's manifesting into our reality and turning into matter. It can alter the accretion, the hardening of energy into matter. E does not equal mc squared. It's the reverse. I mean, in a sense, it's true, but matter is energy crystallized, so to speak, right? You can't really get the energy back out. That's not the point. Matter is something that's on its way through the process from the event stream and is falling away, and all matter is there to degrade. That's what Jesus was talking about in the first fragmented part of the the Gospel of Mary, is that matter is returning to its roots constantly. Just as we can affect it, it also wants to return. Anyway, so they get into these little machines, they fire them up, an energy field is created. This energy field affects the human mind in that it knocks out our ability to sync up with our duration counter, and that's why they start feeling weird. They don't actually alter or go through time in any sense, right? They can go from here to, go from New York to Sydney in Australia, literally, in what we would think of as less than perhaps a second, okay? But they're not actually traveling through time in order to do that. You can think of it in several different ways. You can think of it that they're dialing themselves out of existence and then redialing themselves into existence over in Sydney. That's probably the most accurate understanding of it. This means that they're traveling outside of time or in between sequences within the event stream. And that's actually what's happening. And this is why it's so distorting to the human mind. Our mind is intimately tied to the event stream itself. This was the kind of thing that we discovered in my old farts group and I in investigating the mind-to-machine interfaces in ancient history, is that there was a great deal of effort put into overcoming the limitations on the human mind and human body when people were being used to drive these machines. In some of the old God-centric, that is to say the Elohim, the space aliens, in some of the old literature that spoke of these things from that viewpoint, they were always fucking around trying to keep their humans alive, that the humans died, that humans would be put into these machines and strapped down and their minds connected somehow, and then they would be basically a slave to the Elohim or the space alien, and they would use their mental energy to drive these Vimana and the other spaceships. The cherubs even, in the Bible, which were a form of a spaceship, sort of like a little, a small little troop carrier for on-planet work. Anyway, though, so the humans would die, and they'd burn out, and like, you know, there's a couple of passages in this one particular hymn in Sanskrit about the gods bitching about how weak and frail the humans are, and that they some extraordinary ones last a year and a half, most die at about 9 months. This particular passage is often badly interpreted relating to the birth process in any event. They used to come up, the Elohim, the space aliens that were trying to keep their humans going, did all kinds of shit, right? And so some of the things they did were to develop elixirs that included gold. And they would jazz their humans up with basically monoatomic gold. And they'd fuck over their minds in order to get them to be able to be easier controlled or last longer as the driving force of these machines. And so, there's a lot of literature there about these three particular formulae that were used in, this is in Sanskrit, and this is in the India region. And they were used to keep the humans going. And there are these formulas that are written into various different, what we would think of as ancient Vedic literature that people are assuming are some kind of a religious hymn. Anyway, so we don't travel through time. Time is not existent that way. There's only this eternal now. You could think of, you could imagine a situation where you could have everything happening all at once, right? And in that kind of a situation, you could theoretically travel from one point in time to another. But that also is a misunderstanding of how things exist within our reality. Everything is not happening all at once. It is necessary for Supreme Consciousness that there be an orderly sequence that is like written down, so to speak, that what happened is like recorded. And also it's not true that there are an infinite number of alternatives. This is also a a bad way of thinking about this, right? There is not a reality spun off when you take a left turn instead of a right. Okay, so when you take a left turn, there's not some other reality in which you took a right turn. And that would spawn off into other realities infinitely. That's horseshit. That doesn't work. There are many ways we can discuss that will dispute that concept. And one of the primary reasons for this is that universe or supreme consciousness needs to know what actually will occur. Not what could occur, not what may or possibly could occur, but what actually will occur. What decisions will you make? This is also in support of why we know we have free will, or at least agency to the extent that we can provide input in the form of manifestation as well as decision within the context of those in that instance, in that aspect of the now. The pilots and all these guys that have to fly these things that are getting all wonky, they really should go and read all these ancient Sanskrit hymns, and they'll get some understanding of how this is affecting the mind and what the ancient humans had done to deal with this, right? A lot of Patanjali stuff is all based on controlling the human body in order to control the mind, in order that these effects might not overwhelm you. I first heard about this, like I say, maybe it was the late 60s. There were the rumors of one of these craft having been fixed, able to be run, and it was actually a reasonably large one, and some scientists in California or Nevada, in that area, out in the desert area, get into this. And they had one guy that had sort of, quote, flown it a couple of times. He'd started it up and moved it. And by that, they mean it winked out of existence and then winked back into existence, because when it moves, there's two different approaches to this, right? Anyway, the scientists get into it. Everybody's kind of cramped, even though it's a big craft. It's designed for beings that are about 3 or 4 feet high, so everybody's bent over and stuff. And they tell all these scientist guys, okay, we're going to go, and we're going to turn this thing on, and then I'll turn it off, and we'll open the door, and you will get out, and you'll see that we're in a different space. We're somewhere else, somewhere else on planet Earth. You will get out. You'll walk around, familiarize yourself with this little area, wherever the fuck we end up, and get something. When you're there, get something and put it in your pocket. A handful of dirt, a rock, piece of a plant, something. Put it in your pocket. And then everybody's going to get back in here, and the pilot's going to turn it back on and fly us back to base, which all of which is he's going to turn it on and then turn it off, and you're right there. There is no transit, right? So there's no duration when you're in there. And so they tell the scientists, you're going to have to do this just so that you'll remember that this actually happened, because it will affect your mind such that you won't believe it did. And that's part of the problem, right, is those aspects that are of the mind that are being affected by the brain and the alterations that take place within the brain when these fields are that close to the brain that they cause these. Note that even in the ancient text, all of the effects were attributed to hormones. And we were frequently, myself and these old farts, were frequently running across verbal descriptions of the Eye of Hathor, right? Or sometimes the Eye of Horus, however you want to attribute it. It's a section slice of the human brain that shows all of the hormonal glands. And this is what is being affected by the fields. So the people get back in the spaceship, they shut the door, the pilot starts it up, then he shuts it down instantly, they open up the door, and they're back where they left, And everybody is just like bewildered as fuck. All the scientists don't know what the hell's going on, and they've got dirt, plants and other things in their pockets, right? And so they actually did go somewhere, this actually did happen, and it did distort their understanding such that it seemed unreal, seemed not to have existed, and so on. And this, as I say, has to do with the eternal now, how the mind works in that now, what we think of as time, which is really duration, which is an aspect of us counting sequences, right? Now, in our sense, our brains count the sequences of the pulses of the eternal, that power the eternal now. Whether we're awake or asleep, there are times when you're in comas and you do not count these. We know this because there have been instances where people have been in comas for a couple of years and they basically don't age, right? They're 2 years later, they clean them up, you know, their hair grows, this kind of thing. They clean them up, they come out of the coma, and their minds have not aged. They still think they're in the time that the coma started, and their bodies also have not aged. There have been a couple of cases, too, where the Russians have reported that people with injuries that are in comas, that the injuries heal 100%, you know, like smashed bones and all of this kind of stuff, and when the person comes out, it is as though it had never happened. All of which is an aspect of the mind and the sequence from the eternal now. So the people at Lockheed and all of these other guys, they don't really grasp, because they're coming at it from a gritology perspective, in my opinion, because they're coming at it from a gritology perspective, they're missing some essential elements, essential understandings of this that would alter their approach, right? They wouldn't... You know, if you eliminate the issue of time, if you eliminate the idea of a separate space-time, then the alterations in the brains and stuff here, you'll approach it from an entirely different viewpoint. And maybe it won't be such a big deal, right? Anyway, though, so there is no time travel. People are not going back in time and, you know, visiting previous epochs. Corey Good did not do a 20 and back. None of that shit is true. The amount of energy required for that is astronomically huge, right? I got in trouble with and got sued by Corey Good because I said he was full of shit. You know, he was lying out of his ass, which was true. He admitted in court he was lying out of his ass, and that he, you know, just so full of shit. And the thing is that, you know, it's simply not realistic. It doesn't fit into our reality at all. Why? Because of energy calculation. You got a butthead like Corey Good. You got him working for 20 fucking years, and so you're out in 2045, and you're due to send him back so that with a huge amount of energy, shove him back through time, and then another huge amount of energy to shove his body back into its current shape now in order to somehow disguise the fact that you've had him as a space slave for 20 years, right? Militaries don't work that way. They use the 7-cent solution. It's probably more expensive now, and that's a bullet. They just shoot you, bury you, and get, and they're done with you. They don't have to fuck with it, right? Far cheaper. In the future, they would just use their death ray blaster and incinerate you. They're not going to put the energy into keeping somebody like Corey Good around and recycling him that way. It's just not worth it. Anyway, guys, sorry to bitch, but I just run across a couple of instances of people now talking about the space-time dilation stuff. And we've got to get beyond that because we've got 3i Atlas, we've got real aliens we got to deal with, and these aliens do not understand this reality the way we do. And we're going to get into real world hurt here if we don't have some concept of how they are thinking about it. Anyway, okay. Have a good rest of the week and enjoy our slide into the chaos of 2026.